This is an
Get in
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
He knows nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Welcome to ENN, your evening nightly news, live from Las Vegas, Nevada, the MGM Grand Garden Arena, where Saturday night Wilder vs. Fury 2 is going down. You can call your local cable provider or watch it on the Fox Sports app, or my personal preference, the ESPN Plus app, of course. Tonight's ENN is brought to you by our dear friends at All American Ford. You're looking for a Ford? What are you doing? What are you doing? Go to allamericanford.net. And now we'll say good evening to Michael.
He's a real nice man.
And then we'll say good evening to Don.
You want to be like Alan Alda?
Yeah.
Arguably the most underrated funny drop ever on the show.
My idol.
One of your idols.
Well, it's not Alan Alda.
Nope.
So, apparently, Mike Clevenger has strong feelings about the Astros.
Clev.
I don't know how to say this appropriately on the radio. He referred to the Astros players as the biggest pieces of S in baseball history. The Cleveland Indians pitcher has decided to weigh in, and he did not pull any punches. He was referring to the way that the Astros apologized or didn't apologize last week, and Clev, obviously, like many other players, feels very, very strongly.
See, I wonder, Peter, so if he feels like they're the biggest pieces of whatever, right, don't those players celebrate Mike Fiers for making it public? Because if he doesn't quote-unquote snitch, a word that David Ortiz used, none of this gets out. They continue to live their happy lives.
Yeah, that's 100% true. Well, listen, I don't think most people agree with David Ortiz.
I think a lot might, because there's that really kind of an omerta that you sign when you play for a major league team. Anything that happens in that room is supposed to stay there. I just think that people know it's really stupid to say that, but a couple of people have thought, I don't care if it's stupid, this is what I feel.
Well, the feelings are still coming out. The story is still unfolding. You mentioned it earlier, but Jonathan Lucroy, who was a catcher for every team in the division except the Houston Astros, said that, quote, I've known about it for 2 years that it's been going on. I know it just recently came out, but everyone in baseball knew, especially in that division that played against them. We were all aware of the Astros doing those things, and it was up to us to outsmart them, I guess you could say. It's kind of hard when you have a computer program that breaks your signs. We actively change signs. Every single pitch, we were changing signs. You had to, because they would relay them to second, stealing them from first, from right between your legs. They had a very intricate system going on. We were very well aware of it, and it was a challenge. It was a mental challenge to really overcome that. It's easier said than done, but it's a shame, and I'm glad it came out and came to light.
Can you imagine how exhausted the catcher and the pitcher were at the end of a game when you played the Astros? So even if you had won that game, that kind of mental exhaustion might affect the next game. Maybe the catcher's not as sharp. Maybe he's not sharp when he hits because he's expending so much mental energy just trying to put down different signs. I'm telling you, it has an effect that we can't even quantify.
Well, speaking of Lucroy, let's hear from the man himself. I just rambled it off. Let's hear from Lucroy himself.
I knew about that 2 years ago. That was going on. And I know it just recently came out. Everybody in baseball, especially in that division that played against them, we were all aware of the Astros doing those things. And it was up to us to, you know, outsmart them, I guess you could say. Which is kind of hard when you have a computer program that breaks your signs. You know, we actively changed signs. Almost every pitch, we were changing signs. And you had to, because they had them. They would relay them to second. They were stealing them from first, too, from between your legs. So they were actively, they had a very intricate system going on. We were well aware of it, and it was a challenge, especially very, very, it was a mental challenge to really overcome that.
Now, this audio is vastly different from the audio we've been talking out throughout the day about Big Papi Ortiz, who, instead of being upset with the Astros, is upset with Mike Fiers for being what he refers to as a snitch. Here's Big Papi.
I'm mad at this guy, the pitcher that came out talking about it, and let me tell you why. Oh, after you make your money, after you get your ring, you decide to talk about it? Why don't you talk about it during the season when it was going on? Why you didn't say, I don't want to be no part of? Oh, now. So you look like a snitch. You know what I mean? Why you got to talk about it after? Why don't you, that's my problem, you know. Why nobody say anything while it was going on?
You know, I got to tell you, after listening to it again, kind of agree with Big Papi.
But how do you know that he didn't? How do you know he said? I mean, well, we have no idea whether or not Mike Fiers said, you want him to quit baseball?
Not quit baseball.
So he might have told the guys, I don't think this is right. Brian McCann did, and continued to go on.
But that's not enough.
But what's enough?
Well, you of all people, Narcomania, should know if he was dead serious and morally objected to it, he could go right to baseball and say that my team is cheating.
See, but then you're...
But how are you not a...
But you're driven out of the game.
Well, but at the same time, I hear you. I'm not saying it's an easy decision, Michael. If you're with a gang, a group of friends, and you guys get into mischief, and there's one thing that everyone wants to do, and you're bullied into doing it, and you get caught, and you decided not to snitch on them, and then after doing it, you go and snitch, guess what you are? A snitch.
But
he's not 100% wrong.
The argument that I think David is making is that if you're not going to say anything while it's going on, then just don't ever say anything at all. And that Fiers should just look at it and say, I didn't say anything when I was there. I won a World Series. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. But then we're finding out that all he did was tell his new team, and it leaked out to The Athletic. It wasn't like he held a press conference to tell everybody about it.
And then The Athletic asked him about it, and he wasn't going to lie.
Right. But isn't he under an obligation, Peter, to tell his new team that has to play him 19 times during the year? By the way, look out, because they're stealing signs. I'm just letting you know. And then it gets leaked out.
But remember the language that he used, right? It's sort of like the statement when Marchand took you out of context yesterday, Don. He didn't outright say that he believes he's a snitch. He said, seems like a snitch. And I do understand why, if you stuck with it regardless, and we don't know how you felt or what you said at the time, but you talk about it afterwards, I do understand the thought of that makes you seem like a snitch.
I don't think David Ortiz would have this tact if he was on the 17 Dodgers. I think he'd be ripping the Astros the same as everybody else.
Or if he was on the 17 Red Sox who lost to the
right.
Astros.
But he's a player that was not affected by it, other than the fact that his former team may go through the same thing when their punishment comes down in 2018. So it seems a little convenient that he can have that opinion. Would he have that opinion if he was affected the way other people were?
I tell you what, he has every right to his opinion. Everybody does. You can say what you want. This guy kept his mouth shut during the steroid era. He was on the list that was uncovered by the New York Times of people that failed a PED test and has since said that it was, just simply said it's a mistake. And everybody believes it because everybody loves Big Papi. And as I said, you have the right to any opinion you want. Jessica Mendoza did. Pedro Martinez does. You do. So does Ortiz. But have you heard a peep about this out of A-Rod? Because there's certain dances you sit out because it's not the right dance for you. You don't have any moral high ground. You just don't.
But not that I fully agree with Peter, Michael, but the reason I think your analogy is flawed with the PEDs is it's not like David Ortiz then retired from baseball and started telling everybody how saw all these PEDs being
done. I'm not saying that he did that, but you still did something wrong in baseball.
No, he did do something wrong, but the point is whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent, in clubhouses, it's frowned down upon to snitch. You see things go on all the time. Guys cheating on their wives, right? Guys doing things illegal. You never say a word because he's your teammate. And it's kind of understood that once you leave that locker room that you're not supposed to do it. Did Joe Torre not get reprimanded by a lot of people when he wrote his book? He was retired. He was entitled to write his book. But even in retirement, he was supposed to take those secrets to his grave, according to some players, and Ortiz seems to live by those rules.
Let's say you worked at WFAN, which you used to, but you used to do a show on WFAN, and the shows here at ESPN continued to beat you all the time,
mm-hmm.
right? and you worked at FAN, and FAN continued to beat the shows here on ESPN.
Right.
And you knew that they were doing something illegal with the meters for Nielsen. I'm not saying that's happening, of course. I'm just, it's a hypothetical. You come over here. You telling people?
Yeah.
And are you going to after maybe and saying they're doing something wrong?
I don't know if I wouldn't go public with it.
Well, but if that didn't change it?
But I would.
What if it didn't change it? Because unless you go public with it, it's not changing. Mike Fiers, the only way it's changing is he goes public because he did tell the right people and the A's complained and nothing happened. So does it make him a snitch? Does it make you a snitch, or it's self-preservation?
I don't think it does. I think you have to. Because when we talked about Weddle going from team to team, we said he was under an obligation to tell his current team what was going on with his former team.
You can't rule out snitch. You can't rule it out.
It doesn't sound like he's suggesting it. He's calling him a snitch. Right? I think you're taking a stretch.
Peter, when you say you can't rule out snitch, so you think that he shouldn't have said anything?
No, I'm just saying you can't rule it out.
Yeah,
it is a possibility.
But if you call him a snitch, that is a pejorative word. You're saying that he did the wrong thing. I mean, the old saying in the playground, snitches get stitches.
Right.
I mean, was that what you're saying?
I'm not saying snitches get stitches. I'm saying since we don't know exactly how this played out, you don't know that he was objecting to it to the team. So if he didn't object to it to the team, and then he ended up leaving and telling other people, that's being a snitch.
All right, let me ask you this, okay? So he told his team. He told his team, he told the A's to watch out for it. It became an exhausting thing. He told the A's front office. The A's complained to Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball did absolutely nothing because they didn't want this to happen. They didn't want this to go public. The Athletic finds out that he had complained to the A's and that the A's complained to baseball. Nothing happened. The Athletic come up to Mike Fiers and go, did you in fact say this? Supposed to lie?
Well, let me take that question and flip a question on you.
Okay.
If Fiers signed a long-term deal with the Astros and didn't go to the A's, was he ever going to do anything?
I have no idea. That's a hypothetical.
That's why snitch is in play.
But, Peter, are you suggesting that he not tell his new team what his competition's doing? Doesn't he have to tell the A's?
He has to at least tell his catcher.
He has to tell the A's.
Well, I don't know. It's a little different. It's a little murky for me when it comes to telling your team. I think you're right. Telling your team is one thing. But going and doing it in an interview or telling authorities is a different thing.
I don't think
it's snitching to tell your team.
Now, here's how he could. Let me ask you, if he handled it this way, would it have been better? If he went to the A's and said, listen, I don't want this to go public, but I'm just telling you this is what the Astros are doing. Okay? I'm not going public with it, but guys, you just got to get on board here. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to beat them. We're in competition with them. And then it leaks. And then Fire says, hey, all I did was tell my team information. I don't want to talk about it any further. Would that make it less snitching? Where it got out of control, but he never really owned it. Just said, I'm just helping my old team out, my new team out, by giving information on my old team. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think he's almost under an obligation to tell his current team what's going on.
And I don't think he sought out Ken Rosenthal and Evan Dreilich. I think they found out that he had told his team and told the front office, and they complained to Major League Baseball. They confronted him, the two writers, and said, did you say this? Now, do you expect him to lie?
Now, you can't rule out snitch, but you can also not rule out the fact that he could have tried to put a stop to it when he was in Houston. Heck, McCann couldn't do anything about it. A.J. Hinch couldn't do anything about it.
And McCann had a lot more standing in that room than...
It's possible Mike Fiers could have just looked and go, my manager and my catcher can't do anything about it. I what am I supposed to do? So I think it's a lot easier said than done, Peter, is what I'm saying. And for David Ortiz to make it seem like he's under some sort of moral obligation to keep this all to himself because he couldn't do anything or didn't do anything about it at the time just seems counterproductive to me.
Listen, I hear you, and I'm not trying to suggest that that's actually how I feel, is that he's a snitch. I'm just saying I do understand the possibility, the idea that it's a possibility, and when you factor in would he have ever done anything if he stayed, that certainly, I think, reframes the way you look at Fiers. That's all. But let's move on. There's a lot more to do. We talked about earlier Kyrie Irving is going to undergo shoulder surgery. He's a wrap. That is it for Kyrie Irving in the season with your Brooklyn Nets. So, the next time you see Kyrie Irving, he will be walking out on the floor with Kevin Durant in 2020.
Yeah, it's arthroscopic, but he's going to be out the remainder of the season. I guess it makes sense. Everything is geared. Everything has been geared toward next year. You know, they hope that they go further this year in the playoffs, but they're going to make the playoffs, and we'll see how they match up against the Toronto team. If it ended right now, the season, they would face Toronto. They play Toronto tough without those players. So Dinwiddie has been great. Caris LeVert is healthy now. He's been outstanding. So you can look at it in a positive way if you're a Net fan. All of our young players getting another year of playoff experience, and then we're getting two of the best players in the game at 100% next year, and that could put us over the top.
Coach K is not happy about Duke's blowout loss.
Coach Mike K.
Yeah, I'm sorry, not you. Let's hear from Coach K.
Yeah, they're just playing hungrier and better than we are. You know, this isn't an Xbox game. This is a human being game. Does that Xbox thing, it doesn't have human nature in it and all that. You know, that's why, you know, that's why a lot of people play it. This game is about human nature and human beings. And sometimes when you eat too much, you're not as hungry. When you need something, you're really hungry. And when those two meet, a lot of times the team that needs it the most kicks the other team's butt. And that's what happened tonight.
Doesn't it seem to you?
We'll try to. I'll play Xbox later and see if we can do that.
Doesn't it seem to you that he would not be an analytics guy?
No, that's what I was thinking. He went out of his way to talk about how the game's played with heart. Then it's more on paper. I was thinking the exact same thing.
Blowout loss for Duke. North Carolina's awful. Maryland just keeps rolling. You hate to see it. You know?
Rutgers lost their first home game last night to Michigan.
Well, it's the Carlin jinx he had on Pikel.
You think?
Oh, yeah. Oh. It's a thing. Short, so we can see your butt.
This is why you suck. This is why you suck. Your coach is a rat. What lyrics those were.
And are.
And still are to this day. Timeless. You're right, Don. Rob Ninkovich, who now works for ESPN, and of course is a former Patriot.
I think that's in the contract. All former NFL players work at ESPN.
That's like
the golden ticket that you get that comes with it.
Former Patriots or Cowboys have to have a television job. But Ninkovich has said that he believes that you lose Brady, you might lose a lot of other pieces that are up in the air right now. Devin McCourty, Kyle Van Noy, Jamie Collins. He thinks it would be very challenging for the Patriots to keep other free agents if they lose Tom Brady. And wouldn't that be interesting? I mean, talk about a challenge for Belichick. And maybe a challenge he'd welcome, because we know he'd love to show the world that he's just absolutely the GOAT. But wouldn't that be interesting if they lost, like, really the core of that team?
I just don't get Brady wanting to leave. Everybody's explained it to me. I just don't get it. I mean, it's a marriage that's worked. Stay in it. Stay in it for the kids.
How do you have that opinion and say you're not anti-Belichick? I mean, it's Bill Belichick. You don't think players want to play for Bill Belichick?
Yeah, I mean, why would Devin McCourty on the defensive side of the ball care if Tom Brady's there?
It's a good point, unless they really just believe in him and the leadership that he brings to the
table. Well, that's what I'm saying. If you think that Brady's gone, I'm gone, then how do you have that opinion and not be disrespecting Bill Belichick?
Can I tell you guys something that frustrates me?
Sure.
This sounds personal.
Well, I'm watching Deontay Wilder do interviews, right? Mm-hmm. And I get it. Everyone has a job to do. It's not easy. There's a lot of people to please. But he's doing an interview with, like, one boxing thing after another. I got news for you. They're all ordering the fight. Everyone you're talking to is ordering the fight.
That's a great point.
Deontay Wilder sits down with us right now, number one drive. Do they know the numbers ENN's getting, what the show is doing? And we're on Yes? This is actually the way to move pay-per-views, is right here. So I'm just frustrated because I'm watching my buddy, Brian Campbell, who does an amazing job for CBS Sports, interview Deontay Wilder. And Brian Campbell's amazing. He's probably interviewed Deontay Wilder 70 times. It's just like, this is the way to sell the pay-per-views right here.
Why don't you create some news, throw your body at his knee, take his knee out, cancel the whole fight?
Van Gundy.
Jeff Van Gundy?
Well, just be dragged around the room with you holding his leg. But what they're doing is it's like handing out flyers to the match to people that are online to buy tickets.
Or in the match.
You're already inside. Like, you think the people who are reading these boxing outlets, that are getting these interviews with him, you think that they don't already know. I understand they do SportsCenter hits, and I'm sure like international ones and things like that, but some of them are straight boxing hits, and I'm thinking this would be, if they just gave us 7 minutes, this is a value. Our audience has never heard from Deontay Wilder. We've never had him on once.
In the next 33 minutes before we go off the air, if you don't get him, you get on a plane, you get back here.
Well, we still have tomorrow, even though we definitely won't.
No, get back here. They're not going to give you, you're not going to get anybody tomorrow. You haven't even gotten Tyson. He's your buddy.
And skip the fight, you think?
Yeah.
It's a strong take. But I hear what you're saying. And I'll keep
and
it
you know
under
what?
Advisement.
Our mothership should also be pushing it. Our mothership owns the fight.
They are. So today is tough. Aiming to do something tomorrow.
Okay, I'll play along.
However, if you want to flag him down, blah, 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 blah. Juanito, you want to go flag him down? Can you just wait and when he moves, say, you know, Peter Rosenberg, he needs to talk. He's doing it. Juanito's doing it. He's taking a wire of some sort. Juanito's got a horrifying limp, by the way. I don't know what happened to him. But he's limping his way over.
He's carried you for years.
That's what it is. He's going to try to do it. What do I do for Juanito if he pulls this off, though? I have to
buy
do
him
something
dinner
nice
tonight.
For him. Well, I'll buy him dinner either way. I'm a gentleman, Mike. I don't know if you know that. Anyways, we'll do our best to get that done. Of course, we talked about it earlier in the show. We haven't done a lot of it in the last 45 minutes or so. But the expanded playoffs as part of the latest CBA in the NFL, 7 teams in each conference for the playoffs, a 17-game season, and a 3-game preseason are all on the table and likely to get done as soon as next week.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it. I think it's good. It's more content for networks, so there's going to be more money for the owners, more money for the players, more football for the fans. You know, whether they get their head scrambled, that's their choice to play a 17th game. And, you know, the health care throughout the life of their life, I guess that's a big deal. But if you get injured in the head, there's not much health care is going to help you with. I mean, you keep talking about the ravages of football and the concussions, and you're going to play another game at a high level? Okay. It's funny what money makes you do.
Stephon Diggs has taken down all association with the Minnesota Vikings from his social media. Everything Vikings-related, no longer there. Also, speaking of things related to the area I'm from, Stephon went to Maryland, Jordan Reed officially released from the Redskins. Talk about one of the most unsuccessful, disappointing runs in NFL history. Guys, I'm not kidding. I know I'm not, you know, Adam Schefter or Ryan Clark or someone who knows more about football or Field Yates.
Everybody.
Everybody. Watching Jordan Reed from his rookie season, if he had been healthy, you're talking about a Hall of Famer. He is an incredible talent. Has been injured the entire time. We know the Redskins have a horrid medical staff, and I really hope he ends up on a team where he can make an impact and can stay healthy.
Isn't it amazing that they couldn't release him until he got off concussion protocol? So he got off concussion protocol, and they saved $8.5 million on the cap. Now, not that I'm this nefarious, but I'd still have a headache right through next year.
Yeah, right.
Now, just as an excuse for us to play some of the Bubonge drops, ex-Browns offensive lineman Greg Robinson was pulled over for having 157 pounds.
Had a little something, a little toke of the old Bubonge.
Marijuana in his car, and as the great Mina Kimes said on Twitter, guess you could say he was caught holding.
Ha!
I like that joke, actually.
It is good. I wasn't mocking her.
No, it was a good one. 157 pounds? That's a lot of Bubonge, Michael Kay, even for you.
I mean, I don't think he was going to smoke 157 pounds. I mean, do these guys really think they're going to get away with this? You can't get away with anything anymore. There's cameras everywhere. What are people doing? His NFL salary's not enough that he has to be a pot pusher? Oh, my goodness. They deserve everything they get. 157 pounds.
This is nothing new. Remember Nate Newton?
Yeah.
Remember Bam Morris? I went and confirmed this. Remember Bam Morris, Peter?
Of course.
Running back?
Yeah, of course.
He got caught with 100 kilograms, which translates out to 200 pounds of marijuana.
I'll be honest.
That's a human being.
You can't smoke that much weed. That will do it for ENN from Las Vegas.
Incarcerated Bob gets a story that Snacks Harrison's going to get released by the Lions tomorrow.
And also, how about the story that Odell Beckham Jr. says, if the word is that if he were to be traded, he'd like to be traded to the New York Jets.
That's good. Boy.
You know what?
Jets would be silly.
Every single place that trades him is going to trade him to a worse outpost. So he's going to go to Jacksonville next. That's all there is to it. Nobody wants to make him happy.
The London Jaguars?
Yeah. Nobody wants to make him happy. What?
I'll say one thing. You know who would be happy if he ended up on the New York Jets?
Adam Gase?
Me.
Why?
Because he's content gold. Are you kidding?
And to be a rekindling of the relationship.
Oh, my God.
It would be perfect for you because you have Kitchens as a Giant, and now you have Odell back at the Jets.
Can you imagine if they got together what would happen? Can you imagine? That's what Freddie Kitchens said to the offensive lineman who got caught with the drugs. That's right, Freddie Key.
All right, so we're going to take a brief time out. And just in the unlikely event that Peter can wrangle Fury or Wilder, I doubt it. Well,
I see Bob Arum walking around. You want him?
No. 1-800-919-3776 is Kayla Greco Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.